Wonderful presence of God was in this place Sunday. What a wonderful presence of God was in last Wednesday. Seems like every time we meet two or more gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He shows up. That's good. Isn't that good to know that you come to a church that the presence of God is always here to meet everyone who comes in the name of Jesus? See, I wasn't born in a church that had that privilege. I was born in a church that you went to church and you went to church and you went to church, but I never really had felt the presence of God until I walked into Calvary Gospel Church. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm still recovering from a grandson attack, two of them, 2 and 4 year old, and they have it was like 6 energizing bunnies. Grandpa, 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 grandpa. From about 4 in the morning till too late. Finally, I went and hid. I just didn't have anything left. We went to the Children's Museum, and man, they're up in there, down in here, over there, and I'm thinking, well, it must be nap time pretty quick. No, it was just my one grandson. I'm thinking, you know, he's going to, after all this and all this climbing and everything, he's going to go in the vehicle. He's gonna zonk out. So from maybe 5 o'clock on, I'm gonna have some peace and quiet. He gets in the car. He slept for 1 minute. Seriously, his mother says when he wakes up, he's gonna be fully recharged again. Oh, so it is so great to have grandchildren. Praise God. All right, let's turn in our Bibles with me to John, the 14th chapter, in the 15th verse. You know, many times in our walk with God, we have made the statement that we love God, and I believe that people do that from a heart that's sincere. But there's a prerequisite for us really loving God. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So you really can't separate your love from your obedience, all right? Mark 12:28, another very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and they were asking him all kinds of questions, wanted to know, trying to trap him really into saying something that was against the law. Be a little difficult seeing he wrote the law, but nevertheless. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered them, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Praise God. You could spend your entire lifetime just on that commandment. Praise God. There's a popular phrase in the world today, and I'm going to use it, but I'm going to use it out of the context of what the world uses it. It's, are you all in? You've probably heard that phrase, and it sort of has a connotation that you're willing to put everything you have into whatever you're doing. That you're 100, back in my day, it was, I'm going to give 110%, which is totally impossible because there's only 100%, but that was the saying back in the 50s and 60s. So well, that must have been Dave Shroud back there. Dave Hopp, all right. They're basically two German farmers that get along very, very well together. We love both of them. I just don't understand Germans, that's all. All right. You know, once you are born into the kingdom of God, once you have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with His Holy Spirit, that's when the process really begins, and God begins to show you things that need to be touched and corrected. And that's basically what we're going to be talking about today for the first part of this message, this process of weaning. Hebrews 12:1, the Bible says, therefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, the sins are gone through water baptism by immersion in Jesus' name. But when it comes to the weights, in many cases, we have no idea what these weights are. But these are literally obstacles that would keep us from enhancing our relationship with God, because it's impossible to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength when you first come into the kingdom of God, because you don't have any idea what's hidden in your heart. Any amens? Search for Truth chart used to have a real nice little page on it, and it showed an iceberg, and it showed the little tip of the iceberg, and then below that iceberg was all these sins that could not be seen with a visible eye. But as the heat of the day and the things that were hidden there, the iceberg began to melt and more of these things were exposed. And I want you to know that I'm so thankful that we serve a God who has a real good sense of humor, because I remember I was saved on January 21st, 1981. And I was heavily involved in some high-stakes gambling. So the week after I was baptized, I'm still gambling. I won $960. And I'm thinking, what, is this cool or what? God loves me so much, he's going to allow me to become a professional gambler. And I'm not going to give 10%. I'm going to give 20% of everything I make. And I'm pumped. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be cool. I love to play poker. I'm thinking, this is really good. So I walked into Pastor Grant's office, and I had $96 cash. I said, Brother Grant, I said, I want to give you my tithe. Because I didn't have a job. Work? Are you kidding? Not when I can be a professional gambler. He looked, he said, Brother Thomas, he said, where'd you get this? I said, I won it in a poker game. And I had this big smile on me. He has a way of telling you things without really saying it. I mean, his eyes narrowed. He took the money, by the way. Put the money away for the envelope, and he said, oh, I see. So I'm busy, Brother Thomas. And I thought, I wonder if I said something wrong. Well, it wasn't just about a few days after that. I'm in another high-stakes poker game, and things are going just like I thought they would. I'm winning like crazy. I'm getting four of a kind. Peggy was there. She's looking at this, cannot believe the cards. I had no idea the devil was doing all this. I'm thinking, I am on a roll. And four of a kind, royal flush, all these cards that you only see once in a lifetime, I'm getting one hand after another. And every time that I won the pot, I said, praise the Lord. And there were some people in that game that were kind of nasty. And one guy, kind of a bigger man, he said, if you say praise the Lord one more time, I'm going to knock you out. Well, I said praise the Lord anyway because I was winning. I figured if I'm working for God in the gambling industry, that's the least I can do. Now, how dumb is that? You see, don't be laughing now. If you really looked at your first couple weeks in the kingdom of God, you thought some strange things too, didn't you? Didn't you think there were certain sins that were okay? Didn't you think, oh, this is okay? At that particular game, there was a man, and I had won really big again, and I was driving this man home. And he looked at me and he said, you're a hypocrite. The guy's name was Buzzy. I said, how is that? He said, in my church, they tell me not to gamble. It's a sin. And all of a sudden, the power of God just hit me, and I just teared up. I said, does this offend you? He said, yes, it does. I said, you'll never see me at a poker table again. And God began to reveal that whole system of gambling, how people who can afford it the least pay the most. Praise God. So here's one. Every time that God finds something in your life that needs to be corrected, by all means, correct it. Don't sweep it under the table. Don't allow something to get between you and God, because if you're going to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, you need to have all of these weights. Sin's gone, but the weights are not. I remember Sister Thomas was thinking I was crazy. I took all the alcohol I had, I put it in the box. Quite frankly, it was a big box, a really big box, and I took it over to my father's, which was pretty dumb, but I did anyway. And I said, Dad, I'm never going to drink again, so I wanted to give this to you. What a testimony. You can go to hell for drinking, Dad, but I'm not going. Wow. I'm so thankful that God has a sense of humor. And I took all the drug and all the paraphernalia and all that, and I flushed it down the toilet. And I thought, man, now I can love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then something else pops up. You know, if it wasn't for this Bible, you could get away with a lot of things and feel good about it. Acts 19:19. I'm reading along thinking, boy, I've done all this, and I'm really looking spiritual, and things are really cooking for me, and who knows. I guess I won't do the gambling career, but, hey, there's all other options out there. Acts 19:19. Many of them which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them all before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. And I said, Lord, how does that apply to me? He said, I want you to go through your closets. I want you to go through every cupboard. I want you to go through every book, every CD, anything in your house that doesn't glorify God, I want you to get rid of. He said, ooh, I bet, but I didn't have any peace until I did. And I remember that we had a little statue of Buddha. Didn't even think about it. We went at a carnival or something. And my wife said, where's my statue? Where's my statue? That's just. But would you believe I had three large bags? I'm talking these 35, 38-gallon bags filled with things that did not glorify God. And I had no earthly idea when I came into the kingdom that these things were going to be a stumbling block. Praise God. You may want to try that if you've just come into the faith. Praise God. But now I thought, boy, I really love God now. Things are really going to get really good. And then I picked up the Bible again, and he led me to 2 Corinthians 6:14. Let me tell you something. I'm so thankful that God's Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you into all truth. These are all things, these are all weights that will put you in the world in a New York second. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what hath he that believeth with an infidel? And I'm thinking, well, how in the world did that pertain to me? And then he turned my attention to my very best friend, who was desperately trying to get me out of the kingdom of God. He would come every Thursday, and he wanted to meet at a certain restaurant, and he quizzed me and grilled me and tried to entice me back into the world. Well, I was not interested in going back in the world, but I wanted to be friendly. I wanted him to think that, you know, I didn't want to have him feel that I didn't really care for him. But the problem was, all he wanted to talk about was all the old times. You ever have any friends like that, that they want to talk about all the good old days? Let me tell you something about the good old days, friend. It wasn't good to wake up in jail. It was not a good thing to have a DWI. It's not a good thing to wake up in a ditch with your vehicle wrapped around a telephone pole. I've been there. Those weren't good old days. Those were horrible old days. And God began to deal with me that I was going to have to be honest with him. And every time he came around for about 3 weeks, I witnessed to him about what God had done in my life. And I told him that he needed to repent of his sins, and he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he needed to speak in tongues just like I did. And this is what will happen. They'll either come into the kingdom of God, or they'll kind of avoid you. I didn't care about the avoiding so much. I wanted to let him know, but on the other side, there's no way that you want to continue having fellowship with people who are not saved unless the fellowship is designed to bring them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there is what I call a fork in the road in everybody's walk with the Lord. Everybody that comes to God's going to come to a place where they're going to have to make a decision. And that decision is, am I going to obey the word of the Lord? Am I going to obey my pastor? Do I really believe what this Bible tells me? Or this has taken me way out of my comfort zone. I've had more than one person sit in my office and tell me about, you know, I cannot believe that a person has to live like this or dress like this or live a lifestyle like this to be saved. Well, quite frankly, I was not trying to rewrite the Bible. They came to me, so I had to tell them the truth. But every one of us have come to a place where we knew that if we proceeded further, anybody remember that when you proceeded further, you knew that you were going to be all in. You knew there was no back door. There was no way to escape because it's either truth or it isn't truth. You're either going to do it God's way or you're going to do it your way. Now, we have a lot of people that sit on the fringes. They decide that they like everything but this part. I love the worship. I love our pastor. He's the greatest teacher, preacher in the United Pentecostal Church. I love the fellowship with the saints. But there's some things that I don't agree with. So I'm going to continue to come here. And somehow, I'm going to make it into the kingdom of God. And it's not going to happen. So the rest of this message, I'm dedicating not just to those people who may be struggling with some issues, but in the middle of this message, God began to speak to me, and he said, what is the biggest tragedy in this whole scenario of not wanting to give things up? He said, what if you didn't know you had something to give up? What if you thought you were in truth, total truth? What if you had done everything that you know to do? And yet, you did not have the full gospel. How horrible would it be, my friend, to wake up someday and understand that you did not. You did everything you thought you needed to do, but it wasn't enough. Galatians 1 and 6, Paul talks something about this. See, my perception is this. Satan knew he could not stop the kingdom of God. He knew he could not stop the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So what he had to do then is to take and develop another gospel that didn't have all of the truth in it. Galatians 1 and 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You'd think that would be enough to let people know, but he goes right back in verse 9. He says, and I say unto you, I say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you other than what we have received, let him be accursed. So I believe the ultimate weapon of Satan is to get people who are hungry for a change, who are hungry for something from the word of the Lord, and they get steered into something that will not give them eternal life. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 regarding people coming to God, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now here's the thing about this other gospel. It sounds good. It's easy to be entreated. It's something that kind of tickles your ears. It's all the benefits of salvation of the real gospel, but there's no commitment. There's no real power in it. Jesus made the statement, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come unto you. Praise God. There are people who are denying the power thereof, but it looks good. It sounds good, but does it have the power to save your soul? Does it have the power on the judgment day to come to you, and you can rest assured that there are going to be lots of people that are going to be deceived. Wide is the gate, and many that are going to fall in perdition. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few, the Bible says, are going to find eternal life. It's kind of like junk food. You know, junk food looks like food, smells like food, it tastes like food. But you can eat it, and there's no nutritional value in it. Praise God. There's nothing that's going to sustain your body. And after a long period of time, you keep eating junk food, I know one thing, you will get sick because your body doesn't work on junk food. And the word of God is quick and more powerful than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the joints of the marrow, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise God. So the ultimate weapon that Satan has is deception. Praise God. In Matthew 7:21, this scripture to me has always stirred me from the day that I read it. It almost makes me want to cry because I know there's so many sincerely deceived people. If you're deceived, obviously you do not know it. The only way you can, if there's such a word as become undeceived, is to take the word of God and carefully divide it. Get all the scripture on any one given subject and take that and make your decision based on the totality of God's word. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Now, how in the world could you get iniquity out of people who are preaching and teaching people about the kingdom of God? They're laying hands on the sick and they are recovering. What in the world could be lacking from that if they are sending these people's souls to hell because of a part of the gospel that they've omitted? Listen to me. You can preach a lot of good things. You can turn on the TBN, whatever that, TBN and TBA and all these other things, and you can listen for hours and hours and hours and hours and be convinced that these people have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Unless you've heard the gospel of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can be deceived. The ultimate deception. Now, when I first came in here, Brother O'Neill, there wasn't too many churches that had claimed the infilling of the Holy Ghost with speaking in another language. But 30 years later, just about everybody you talk to has been filled with God's Holy Spirit. And it's a very deceptive thing if they haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, because they're feeling the presence and the power of God, and they equate that to eternal life. It's one of the steps, but it's not the entire step. Let's take a look at what the apostles preached as far as the gospel goes. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and whereby you stand, by which also you are saved. He's declaring the gospel unto them which he preached, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, that how Christ died for our sins, that's repentance, and was buried, that's baptism, and he rose again on the third day, that is the resurrection, according to the scriptures, being born again. So the apostles' doctrine included a three-step formula: the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, because Satan's aware of that, there are a lot of folks that are going around teaching people that, yes, we believe in repentance, and we believe that, you know, baptism in some cases is okay. It doesn't really make any difference how you baptize, as long as you are baptized. If you're baptized as an infant, that's okay. Baptized in another formula, that's okay. But that's not what the scripture said. In the resurrection, being filled with God's Holy Spirit. So today, I just hope by the grace of God that I could convince at least one person today that you need to repent. Biblical repentance is turning away from the lifestyle that you're living and be willing to do whatever God has asked you to do. And then I'm praying that some of you would feel that you need to be rebaptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise God. And then I believe that some of you are going to be filled with God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in another language. Because these are the three elements that you need to have to make heaven your home. Romans 6:3, Paul confirms this. Praise God. Is anybody with me on this? I'm so excited about what God's doing here at Calvary Gospel Church. I mean, it has been so very, very exciting. Last Sunday at our testimony service, we had and this was a long service, but we had, I think, 10 people talk to the congregation, or preach, if you will, about the miraculous deliverances and healings that they've received. And this is just an amazing thing that's going on here. If you haven't Listen to that, if you weren't here, I suggest that you download that message, because these people are, and I just took this message over to a friend of mine who's dying of emphysema, and this lady had never responded at all to the message. In fact, she had been from another denomination. She said, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. But when I came with this hope that God could and would heal her body if she'd be obedient to the word of God, She took the download. She took the scriptures and the CDs that I gave her. She's very hungry now. Things change when you come down to the end of the road. Trust me, I know. I was at the end of my road some 31 years ago. And listen, when people start telling you that you're not going to be here for in another week or perhaps 3 weeks, you begin to give it a little more thought. You begin to think a little deeper as to where you're going to spend eternity. Praise God. So we have a three-part gospel. Romans 6 and 3, the Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin." The most amazing thing to me was the desire that was taken from me as an individual, that I no longer wanted to do the things. Those old things were buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. God took the desire from my spirit to do the things that I had been involved in. Anybody ever felt that? The desire's gone. There was no 12-step progress. It was just the awesome power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. So the first step, according to the scripture, is repentance. This is a type of death. I don't want to go this way anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I want the real power of God in my life. Jesus' first message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist also included repentance in his very first message. And then, of course, we have water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm spelling this out because some of you have been here many times, and you've never seen or felt the necessity to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the Bible, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So I know I meet people every day almost, because I'm here full time along with the other pastors, and it's heart-wrenching, really, to have people come in your office who have a wonderful walk with God. I mean, they are Christian. They love God, but they're so entrenched in what they believe, they're not willing to look at more, as if God couldn't give them more. And my stock answers to them as well, why don't you just simply take a look at it? And if at the end of the Bible study, if you don't agree that this is the Word of God, then certainly you could continue being or doing whatever you presently are becoming. And I put together a Bible study that it deals just with the three steps of salvation and a 100-some scriptures that agree with that position. And I challenge them to take this home, read it, look at it. And at the end of this, if this is not something you want to involve yourself in, praise God, my job is done. I'm to cast the seed, sow the seed. But you have to go and look at this. Praise God. I've talked to some people that have said, well, I've been baptized as an infant. Praise God. Well, I'm not trying to take that away from you. I'm trying to add into that formula because I can find no place in the Bible that any infant was ever baptized. When Brother O'Neill had the campus ministry years ago, he used to offer a $500 reward. If you could show one instance in the scriptures where any infant was ever baptized, and you can't find it. Nobody ever collected it. I was baptized at 11 years old, and they called it a confirmation. 13 years old, I left the church, never came back. So there was no conversion. There was nothing going on that led me to believe that there was any power in that church. And there's no record, I might add, in the scripture of anyone being baptized in any other name other than the name of the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. That's what the Bible says. See, this is not about tradition. This is not about what mom and dad or the minister or the priest or something told you. This is the unadulterated word of the Lord. And if you want to challenge me, I'd love to listen to your side of the argument, and then I'd like to give you enough evidence to let you know that I believe this is truth. Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Praise God. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Praise God. Now we're into the, I need to back up here. Mark 16:16. I'm sorry. I want to show you just some evidence briefly here about what I'm talking about. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believed not shall be damned. He that believed not, what? What was it they didn't believe? Could it be that if they didn't believe, they needed to be baptized in Jesus' name? Because that's all in that same series of scripture. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. When you go down in the water of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins go to the judgment seat of God. And at that point, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to every sin that you ever committed from the day you're old enough to be accountable until that moment. Praise God. And then if we sin after that, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our iniquities, because this is not just a one-time thing. This means that you will receive forgiveness as long as you're alive and as long as you're willing to repent. Praise God. And that is just a little sampling of the scriptures in the New Testament that lead to the undisputable fact that you must be baptized. Not only must be baptized, but you must be baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise God. And once you've done that, my friend, then I believe God will fill you with his Holy Spirit. And I've had a lot of people talk to me. In fact, I just talked to an old friend not too long ago, and she said, you know, I wouldn't mind going to your church, but I don't believe in that tongues business. Well, what does that have to do with anything? You know, why approach it from a negative standpoint? Why not approach it? Boy, if God would be willing to come inside of me after I've repented and give me a brand new language to speak, that would be the proof that he's not only with me but in me. I think I'd just be excited to come in and just see it, just experience it, don't you think? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know. Well, I've already received the Holy Ghost. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I hear that all the time. Well, if you receive the Holy Ghost, I said, what day was it that you received? What do you mean? What was the evidence? How did you know that Jesus Christ is in you? I felt really good. I felt this warm, fuzzy feeling. I said, but does that correspond with what it says in the Scripture? The Bible says that God gives us the earnest of our inheritance, which literally means he gives us a little taste of himself. He pinches off a part of himself and puts it inside of you. And that little piece that he puts inside of you gives you the ability to speak in another language that you've never spoken before. It is the evidence and proof that God's not only with you, but he's in you. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, when that came into me, I could not believe it. Here I am speaking in a language I can barely speak English. I have the worst grammar in the world. And here I'm speaking in an unknown language. I went into a closet for hours and hours and hours in my house. And I just, Peggy was in there. Peggy hadn't received the Holy Ghost. And she said, what are you doing in there? I'm just speaking in tongues. Because this is the reality of the gospel. This is the proof of the pudding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I've talked to people that have been so adamantly opposed to the infilling of God's Holy Spirit that they said that speaking another language or speaking in tongues is of the devil. I said, oh my God, don't say that, because that is as close to blasphemy of the Holy Ghost that I've ever heard. Don't say that. If you don't agree with it, at least don't say anything. Praise God. But why don't you look it up in the Scripture? Why don't you get all the evidence? Why don't you look to find out for yourself? You know, there's so many folks that spend more time planning their next vacation than they do planning where they're going to spend eternity. You know, you need a GPS, but that GPS has got to have a God's positioning satellite on it where he can lead you and guide you and take you to the places that you need to be. And I will guarantee you this, if you, after hearing this message, if you still do not believe or understand it, please come and get one of these from me. Look it up. I've looked them up for you. You can look through this and see exactly what the Scripture says. I've had some people said, well, I've already been baptized. Do I need to be rebaptized? Well, if you go to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, they rebaptize people. Paul rebaptized the disciples of John the Baptist. Why did he do that? Because they weren't baptized properly. Nobody's condemning you today, folks. We're just trying to help you jump over the fence of denominational thinking and get into the apostolic worship and the apostolic power and the apostolic church here at Calvary Gospel Church. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In closing, I'd like to turn to what Jesus Christ was, he was exhorting Nicodemus in the third chapter of the book of John. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water baptism, Spirit infilling of God's Holy Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then Peter on the day of Pentecost. Peter is the apostle that God gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven to. Do you remember that? He was a spokesperson for the first apostolic message that was ever preached to a lost and dying world. When Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven, it was Peter then who had the message. You're not going to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that deals with the birth, the life, the death, the burial of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts is a separate book. The Acts of the Apostles is the historical evidence of what the apostles did with the information that Jesus gave them. And when Peter stood up and preached, this is what he said. Because the Jews that heard his message, they were pricked in their heart. They felt something they had never felt before. They felt conviction because they knew in their heart that they had crucified both Lord and Christ. Bible says in Acts 2:37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I'm asking you this morning, if God's speaking to you, what shall you do? How do you escape eternity lost? What must I do? And then the scripture that is really the apex of the doctrine of the apostolic church is this. Peter gave the information that you need to make heaven your home. I wouldn't say heaven your home, because a lot of people hear this message and receive it and they walk away. I would say more that it is the passport. This gets you from where you are into the kingdom, but it doesn't get you into heaven. This gives you the ability through the Holy Spirit to avoid the traps that Satan has set out for you. It gives you the strength to overcome those things. It gives you the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recovered, to cast out devils in Jesus' name. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Here's the gospel. The power of God unto salvation. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice again, Peter preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Would you stand with me? As I mentioned to you earlier, I'm not sure who this message is before, but my message was not going this way when I first started it. But in the middle of it, God really laid it on my heart that there are very sincere people that are going to be in the house of God this morning. And I'm reaching for them. If you're here today and you have a great walk with God, or perhaps not a walk at all with God, I want you to remember God's calling you this morning to repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Could I ask you this? What in the world would be wrong with obeying the Word of God? Is there anything that's worth not making eternity? Have you ever considered that you might be wrong? Praise God. The Bible says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some men's sins are taken up before and some afterward. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in front of God with anything that would keep me from loving Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. Who'd like to be the first to come? Praise God. I know we have people here that need to be baptized and or filled with the Holy Ghost.